Out of the gate, I wanted to talk to you about the budget for Wyoming and this budget crisis, if you will, that continues and kind of headlining some of the top stories right now is this moratorium on new oil and gas leases. I saw that you were on Fox and Friends a couple days ago talking about the impact that this is likely going to have on Wyoming. Talk to us a little bit about this and what you're expecting to see from this moratorium put on by the Biden administration.
Well, sure. So this Biden ban is really an issue for any Western state with public lands. You know, it was kind of a campaign promise, but I don't think that the administration really understood its bipartisan in its devastation. One of the first calls that I made when we first heard about it was I called Governor Lujan Grisham in New Mexico. She's a Democrat. And she has exactly the same issues that we do. You know, it's gonna take funding away from the schools. It's going to really cause big problems for the budget. It's gonna slow down production. And most importantly, and I think this is one of the things that the Biden administration forgot, is it just slows down the pace of regulated, careful, thoughtful development. It moves it offshore, and so instead of selling energy to our friends, what we're doing is forcing ourselves to buy energy from our enemies. It's just wrongheaded all the way, top to bottom.
Well, this of course comes right after what happened in 2020 with the natural resource industry in the nation, and really hitting Wyoming, where the rigs and the drills just plummeted in number. So does this make it harder for that to rebound? I mean, how does the moratorium on new leases affect this? Can those wells that had stopped in 2020, can those come back online, or is this prohibiting that from happening?
Well, there's two issues. There's this pause. You know, we want to pause this pause, but there's a pause on new issuance of leases. But more importantly, really on the immediate future, is the fact that the Bureau of Land Management really has a variety of ways that they're dealing with this moratorium. So in some places, Wyoming included, any new change, or let's say you want to change where the pad is, or you want to change where you're going to drill on an existing permit, or you want to do something, what they call sundries, changes to the permit, downhole, all of those are having to go from the field office to the state office all the way up to the secretarial level and then come back down. So there's just an enormous backlog of efforts, and depending on what state you're in, they're prosecuting them differently. So there's a lot of confusion, and that is not good for the industry. It is not good for an industry trying to come back. And as you know, Duke, we put $30 million into making sure that we could get those wells completed with what we called our energy rebound program right at the end of last year. So this couldn't come at a worse time.
Talking with Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon this morning, and you talk about coming at the time it did just now, that leads us into the current budget situation. Even before the moratorium wasn't great, and last year you had rolled out a series of 10% budget cuts. Take us through how you felt those budget cuts went when you implemented those 10% at a time, and then let's talk about the current budget in discussion with the legislative session and what you're seeing coming out of the House and Senate.
You bet. Well, thanks. And what I have to do is compliment our state agencies. They really stepped up to the plate. It was obvious last year, you know, we talked about it on this radio program, just about what a third of our revenue disappearing was going to mean to the state's budget. The state agencies understood that. They got to work. They came back making recommendations to us. Every single agency, we did 10% reductions. We did another approaching 10%. It wasn't across the board. It did try to target those agencies where we could make bigger cuts without compromising services. And generally speaking, I think it was tough for state government, but nonetheless, we managed, we got through it. And it is changing the way we're being able to deliver services. There's a bridge up in Jackson that we haven't been able to fix. You can't haul a full load of cattle across. That's something we're going to have to deal with. Obviously, mental health is an issue. We're still trying to figure out how to do a better job of getting services out there. But generally speaking, I think people recognize that we've got to trim our sails. They did it, and we're kind of hanging in there, hanging tough. This legislature has, for the most part, kind of respected the budget cuts that we've made. They understand that we're very, very close to the bone. There's maybe a little bit of adjustment here and there, but by and large, I think most people have said that's pretty good. I remember a newly elected Senator John Cole on the way back to Rock Springs right at the end of the session told me, "Mark, I think you've done a pretty good job of making the cuts we needed to make." The one area that we have some real difficulty with is in education funding, what we do for schools. Of course, you know, it comes back to those bonus payments from energy companies. If we don't have those, we don't have new schools. If we don't have energy production, we have real trouble funding our schools. And the legislature is really trying to grapple with it, have been for a number of years, and so far they haven't really come up with the right recipe.
Well, Governor Mark Gordon joining us this morning on the weekday wake up. In line with that, Governor, is revenue and the idea of trying to increase revenue from places outside of natural resources. And one bill or a couple bills that we've talked about with our local representatives and senators has been this this road usage tax bill, which has been floated out. And our newly elected representative Scott Heiner made the comparison that bill was just kind of a political ploy to maybe soften people up for a 9-cent gas tax increase. And people are saying, well, I don't want a black box put in my car to track my mileage and usage on Wyoming roads. I'd much rather pay a 9% tax or a 9-cent tax increase. What's your thoughts on these types of taxes, a gas tax increase? And if something like that came across your desk, would you be open to signing it? What's your thoughts on something like that?
Well, I got to tell you, I'm never in favor of raising taxes. I really am not. I will say that one of the big challenges for the highway system, for states generally, is the fact that we are seeing so many new electric cars and trucks hitting the road, and they, of course, don't pay gas tax, and that gas tax is what funds the road. So, you know, when my colleagues from the other side of the aisle, you know, come and say we need to have a climate, we're worried about climate, we want to have electric cars, my response to them is, who's going to pay for the roads? And they say, well, that's a really good point. The road usage charge was an effort to try to figure out if there was a way that we could charge vehicles, you know, as they travel across the road, whether they be electric or hydrogen or fossil fuel powered. My view is that is not ready for prime time. It's been implemented in a pretty, problematic way, I guess. In Utah, I think that's about the only state that's looked at it. And it's really, it's just not ready. You know, I do think we're going to have to look at how we're going to fund our roads. That's going to be a problem going forward. But just to be clear, I'm not in favor of raising taxes.
Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon joins us this morning. Any other legislation that's being looked at out of that recent 8-day session, which wrapped up Friday, that you'd like to maybe bring up or mention that you have your eyes on?
You bet, dude. But first off, I want to say that this was a really good session this last 8 days. I think the leadership of your own President Dockstetter and then Speaker Barlow really has shown its merit. They were able to get through a number of bills, really too many to talk about today. But I'll talk about two that I think are really important. One is we expanded the Wyoming Energy Authority and its ability to help support projects from pumped hydro. You know, one of the things about more electric being used is we need to figure out battery storage, and pumped hydro is a terrific way to do that. It's also looking at geothermal, if there are things we can do there. That's a real expansion of that authority and very, very important. I think the other one is 2 years ago, I asked the University of Wyoming and Weed and Pest Districts all across the state to come to grips with invasive species and what they meant to our public lands, what they meant to our private lands that are adjacent to those public lands. And they came up with a number of recommendations that were implemented in this legislation. So two of those are initiatives that I had that I'm very proud have passed. In addition to that, we did the large project water fund. They passed also some banking changes that are important. It's exciting now to think that banks want to move to Wyoming as opposed to moving out of Wyoming, which is what they were doing. So I think this is a session that's really stacking up to be reasonably good. The bills I've seen so far have been terrific.
Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon joining us live this morning on the Weekday Wake Up. Gordon, let's maybe switch directions here a little and talk more about COVID-19 and the vaccine rollout. How would you grade Wyoming's distribution of the COVID-19 vaccines up to this point?
Well, I think Lincoln County has really demonstrated how well you all have rolled it out. I think you're way out in the lead, and that's been terrific. But what I would say is, in fact, I think as I'm looking at my notes here, I think you've got practically all of your doses out, and I hate this phrase, but everybody seems to be using it, into the arms of people. So congratulations to Lincoln County. Wyoming's in the top 10 nationwide getting vaccine out. I think it demonstrates that a small state can do mighty things when it puts its mind to it. I have to say that all in all, we're really happy with what we've seen. The numbers of cases are coming down. Hospitalizations are coming down. We're kind of coming back to a little bit of a normal. The one county that's still struggling a little bit is the one just north of you. But we're hopeful that they're going to have some really good information on that too.
Governor,
Let me just say that if people are 65 and older, they can get those vaccines, and if they can register online, or there's a number 800-438-5795 that they can call if they want more information.
Perfect. Governor, it was almost a year ago when all this happened. I was at state basketball with my co-host Dal Erickson in Casper, the 3A-4A state basketball tournament, when we had the first confirmed case in Wyoming the night before. The next day, state basketball was canceled, and then all the dominoes started falling from there. That was early March, so it's almost been 11 months now, almost a full year. Looking back at how Wyoming handled the virus in those 11 months from that first day to where things are at today, How do you, it's kind of a tough question, but how do you grade yourself, and how do you grade the way Wyoming handled it? Is there some things that you would maybe do different? And has that impacted how you look at this moving forward?
Well, I think there are a lot of lessons learned, and we could always do better. Let me just start with a few of the statistics. And one of them is that, only for a very small period of time, were we among the highest infection rate. Our most of our experience has been among the lowest in the nation. The number of deaths that we saw, that's one that's particularly, I spent a lot of time thinking about, could we have done things better, that we would have more family members still alive so people could break bread and go to church together and all of that. And that one's tough, but we've done better than most every other state in that respect too. And then lastly, the other metric that I think about is, what about our unemployment? And Wyoming has maintained a pretty strong profile. So we've been among the lowest infection rate. We've been among the lowest of unemployment rate. And we've done really well on our vaccine program. So all in all, and I won't take credit for this, I do think all in all, Wyoming has performed better than the rest of the nation, and I'm very proud of that. We never locked down. We did the absolute minimum of restrictions. We tried to leave that at the local level. Those are in keeping with my Republican principles. Government closest to the people governs best. And all in all, I think that stacks up well. Now, having said that, when the basketball tournament was going on, and I remember that, it was, that was the evening that, the legislature broke and both went home. And within 4 days, we had schools closing. We, I think could have looked at that, maybe a little bit more, carefully and said what I wanted to do at the time was to say, we'll have a couple of days of school, extend our spring vacation. That'll allow teachers to see their students, kind of explain what's coming up. And we could have gone in, to this COVID crisis with a little bit more, I guess, care, than sort of running, in reaction to what we saw.
Well,
but, I would say, Duke, I think we've done pretty well.
Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon joining us live on the Weekday Wake Up. Governor, thank you so much for your time. Anything else you wanted to mention while we have you?
No, just thanks to the people of Wyoming. You know, we're a wonderful state. We will persevere. We've been through this time and time again, and I do believe that Wyoming has the right recipe, government closest to the people, strong conservative values, and that will guide us through. So thank you, and Duke, thanks very much for this opportunity.
That's Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon joining us live this morning. It's all part of the Weekday Wake Up on SVI Radio.